We'll read four verses here. I'll start, and then you read, and then I'll take my turn, and then you will read, okay? We'll go back and forth like that. And thank you for standing in honor to the word of the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful that we can rejoice, and not just in ceremony or in ritual because of a celebration time of the year, but because we know the reality of how powerful the redemption story is and how it's been fulfilled in our lives. Praise God. All right, Acts chapter 3, I'll read verse 2, you read 3, I'll read 4, you read 5. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." All right. That phrase in the last verse you read, expecting to receive. Oh, my. Expecting to receive. Now, on Christmas Eve, there's probably a lot of anticipation. Oh, my. Those presents have gotten shaken. You've rattled them up by your ear. Maybe one so big you couldn't even lift it. Expecting to receive. Praise God. But oh, if we can lift up our eyes to look to Him, there's so much He wants to give. So much He wants to bless you with. Amen. For just a few minutes today, let me share with you this thought, expecting to receive. God bless you. You can be seated. Healing is something that the Lord has provided throughout His Word. There are instances in the Word of God, not just in the time of Jesus, but long before that. In fact, Naaman is a captain in the Syrian army, but he was a leper. And Jesus, in His ministry, reached all the way back through the eons of time and made mention of the leprosy being healed of Naaman. Now, Naaman was not a man who was acquainted with the with Jehovah God. He was a mighty man of valor. He was a man of distinction. He had gained many military victories, but it was all tainted. It was all qualified by some degree because he was a leper. Fortunately, there was a little maid, and I'm every time I read this story, I'm thankful there was a little maid from Israel who had been taken captive by the Syrians in one of their conquests, and this little maid was serving Naaman's wife in her household. She saw day after day the struggle. She saw time after time, no doubt when Naaman would look in the mirror and shake his head. He was putting on his uniform. He was arranging his medals. He was doing all that would display his bravery, his valor, and his conquest. But the leprosy was hard to ignore. Finally, she spoke up and said, "Oh, that my master knew that there was a prophet in Israel who could heal him." Just a small statement. And her belief and her trust and her witness was magnified by the Lord. Oh, don't ever doubt that God can use you. Don't ever doubt that God wants your testimony to be spoken, that God wants you to witness of how good He is and the work that He can do. Naaman's wife passed the word on to Naaman passed the word on to the king. The king wrote a letter to the king of Israel, who thought it was a trap. Isn't it interesting how we look at things in the most negative way? But Elisha sent a message to the king, said, "Don't tear your clothes. Send them to me." Praise God. So Naaman took payment. He thought he had to offer something to the prophet. 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. My goodness, what a train of camels he must have had along with him as he departed for Elisha's house. He arrived with expectations. He thought, surely he's going to come out. He's going to make a big to-do over me. I'm the captain of the Syrian army. I've won lots of conquests. Look at all my medals. Look at all the men who are accompanying me. Surely he's going to make a big to-do out of me arriving here for my needs to be met. But instead, a servant came out. Didn't even see Elisha. A servant came out and said, "The prophet told you to go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed." Short message, and one that Naaman did not expect. He thought, surely there would have been a prayer. Surely there would have been a procedure, a protocol for him to follow. Surely he would call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and there would be a healing. Well, the grandstanding did not happen. The great acts did not take place. And he complained even more. "The rivers of Damascus are far better than all the waters of Israel. I don't want to do that. That's ridiculous." And he went away in a rage. Maybe the first case of road rage. I don't know. But his servant said, "He's asking something so simple. Why don't you try it?" If he had asked something expensive, if he had asked something that took a great deal of energy and effort, you would have done it. But now he's saying, just go and dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. Go ahead and do it. Give it a try. And so his fine uniform was discarded. He went down into the water once, twice, and you know the story, 7 times he dipped himself. And when he came up the 7th time out of the Jordan River, his flesh was like a child's. There were no more sores. There were no more white, crusty places on his skin where the leprosy had done its terrible work. He was healed. Praise God. I'm sure there was a thankfulness in Naaman's heart that he listened to his servants. He did the work that was required of him. Dipped himself 7 times. Thank God that the power of the Lord can be fulfilled when we are obedient to him. Amen. The waters of baptism wash away every stain of sin. All unrighteousness, all sin is taken care of in the powerful name of Jesus and by his precious blood. Amen. And we don't dip you 7 times. We dip you once and for all. Praise God. And the name of Jesus does the work. Praise God. Oh, the expectations of healing. And to condense this message, I won't talk about the expectations of the lame and the blind and the other lepers who were healed by Jesus. Instead, we'll go directly to the lame man who sat at the gate. 40-plus years old, lame from the time that he was born, never having taken a step on his own in his life. His livelihood was by collecting alms from temple goers. The gate beautiful is where he sat, but there was nothing beautiful about his existence. Nothing beautiful about his condition. And I wonder, the night before he was to look upon Peter and John, did he have expectations? Did he wonder what the next day was going to be like? Did he decide that there's something going to happen, something's going to take place? Or did he arise in the morning and eat his meager breakfast and wait for his friends to come and carry him to the gate beautiful just like every other day? in his meager and poverty-stricken condition. But this day was to be different. Praise God. The ninth hour, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the hour of prayer, people were hurrying to and from the temple, and the man no doubt held out his basket as each one passed. And when he saw an old fisherman and a young disciple coming towards him, he probably didn't have much hope, much expectation that there would be a silver piece or a gold piece that would rattle in his basket and he'd have something to eat that night. And so he begged alms of them. And when Peter said, "Look on us," his attention was focused even more. He was already looking. He was expecting to receive. And he looked on them as Peter expected him to do. His doubts probably rose and his hopes probably dropped when he heard Peter say, "Silver and gold have I none." But Peter wasn't done. Peter wasn't finished speaking. "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Praise God. That was not what he was expecting. That was not what he thought he was going to hear. That was not what he thought was going to take place in that day. But when Peter reached down and grabbed a hold of his wrist and pulled him upright, and his ankle bones received strength, and immediately he was healed, he began to jump up and down. He began to leap and to walk and to walk and to leap and to praise God, because my God knows how to reward those who are expecting to receive. Thank God for the blessings of the Lord, far more than he expected. The people were filled with wonder and amazement. Is this the one who was crippled? Is this the one that we've seen day after day begging at the temple? Are you sure that's him? Yes, that's him. Look at him. Those are the same clothes he's worn. That's the same way he has looked. But now he's leaping and walking and praising God. Amen. And Peter preached Jesus. Oh, his name, through faith in his name. He stayed with the word of God. He mentioned Moses. And he mentioned the prophets. They told about the Messiah. Thank God that Peter preached the word of God again. They were all looking for the Messiah. Amen. The births were celebrated, especially baby boys. And finally, the angel Gabriel would appear. We first hear of Gabriel as he appears to Daniel 500 years before. But now, here he is again, appearing as God's time clock was ticking down to the hour that the Lord would come. 500 years later, both Joseph and Mary heard from the angel saying, "You will bring forth a son, you'll call his name Jesus." Praise God. And Mary was expecting. And all you moms can identify with what she was going through. All you moms could understand what her expectations were like. And she had heard the angel say, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Finally, that day arrived. The shepherds were visited by the angel. They declared, "Fear not, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day." The day that they'd been waiting for, the day they had been anticipating, the day they had been hoping for, this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, thank God. This day is going to happen sometime soon when the Lord breaks the clouds of glory and comes back for his people and we rise to meet him in the air. This day is going to take place. Praise God. The angel said, "You'll be a sign. You'll see him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." What strange gift wrap. But the Lamb of God was there waiting as the shepherds made haste to Bethlehem. They saw the sign and testified of what they had seen and heard. They glorified and praised God. 30 years later, John the Baptist would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Hallelujah. Amen. The disciples being chosen by this carpenter from Nazareth, what did they expect? When they heard him say, "Follow me," a simple invitation, but profound results. That's what the Lord can do. Amen. The sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice, and that's what they did. Nathanael and Philip, for example, followed the Lord, and they had expectations. Philip heard the Lord say, "Follow me," and he went then to Nathanael. He said, "We found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write, Messiah. The one who would be Messiah, we've found him. He's finally arrived. He's here." "Nazareth," Nathanael would say, "can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You see, he was understanding that it didn't seem like Messiah would come from an obscure place like that. It seemed like Messiah would come from Jerusalem, from the religious center of the Hebrew nation. He would come with fanfare. He would come with grandstanding ovations and so on. "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I'm so thankful I know Jesus can make good things come out of bad situations. Jesus can make good things come out of circumstances that seem so negative. It seems so wrong, but the Lord knows how to turn things around. Oh, that he receives the glory. Praise God. Later on, Philip would ask a question. "Show us the Father, and that will be sufficient." Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." He is God manifest in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, I'm glad I know he's not some junior deity. I'm thankful I know he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his power and the expectations that we can bring before him. Many times Jesus taught things that was difficult for the people to understand. They had their preconceived notions. They had their expectations of what the Messiah should do and be and say. And when Jesus taught them, they began to walk away. They began to leave. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" See, we have a choice. We have a choice. You can decide to ignore what the scriptures say and the promise and the blessing that God can bring to you. You can ignore the opportunity to expect and receive. But I like the way Peter spoke right up and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? What option is there? What alternative is there? There's nothing else that we can turn to. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. Praise God. And they, through a 3-year time of Jesus' ministry upon the earth, they saw more and more of his power. They saw more and more of his healing and him raising the dead. Praise God. So that even the opposition would have difficulty trying to apprehend him. They were sent some officers to arrest Jesus and to bring him to the temple, but they returned without him. And they returned with the report, "Never a man spake like this man." I don't know what they were expecting. I don't know what they thought they were going to find or how they thought they could apprehend him and arrest him. But they came back with that simple report. "We've never heard anything like this. We've never heard anybody speak like this." What did they hear? They heard the promise of the Spirit when Jesus stood in that feast day and said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Thank God, we can expect to receive it, and we can expect God to do even more as the work that he would fulfill. Oh, they got used to his words being fulfilled. The death, the burial, the resurrection, that caught them off guard. Even though Jesus told them numerous times it was going to happen. Even though Jesus told them about it and it was fulfilled exactly. And they saw it. They lived it. The stark reality of it slammed them. But oh, what rejoicing at the resurrection. And the emphasis that Jesus made then about receiving the Spirit. They heard Jesus promise the Spirit at least three times in those 40 days that the Lord was with them after his resurrection. And they went to Jerusalem with great joy, the Bible says, after Jesus ascended up into heaven away from them. And they continued in prayer and supplication in an upper room in Jerusalem. What was going on? They were expecting to receive. They didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, that they were expecting something. And knew that the Lord would fulfill his word. And as they continued in prayer and supplication and worshiping God, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Thank God the Lord knows how to fill those who are expecting him. The Lord knows how to bless those who are reaching for a greater blessing in him. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, a priceless gift, a gift that comes with another language to praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. And now, here's an important question. Are you expecting Jesus to come again? Because that's sound doctrine. Just as they expected him to come the first time, the Messiah to come and do the work of redemption and healing and deliverance, we're expecting him to come again. Because the angels appeared to them as they stood gazing up into heavens and declared, this same Jesus, which was taken up from you today into heaven, shall so come in like manner, even as you've seen him go. The clouds of glory are going to part and the Lord is going to come again. Amen. Thank the Lord that he said himself, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Peter, James, and John, who were some declared to be an inner circle, would make mention of the Lord coming as well. Peter talking about scoffers and those who would mock, those who would laugh at the belief that Jesus is coming. Where's the promise of his coming? They would ask. But God's will is repentance. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, thank God we can be cleansed. Thank God we can be forgiven. Thank God we can turn and go in another direction. James wrote, be patient, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. John wrote, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Paul, who wrote almost half of the New Testament, would emphasize this aspect of the coming of the Lord. A mystery, he declared, the mortal putting on immortality, the corruptible becoming incorruptible, the defeat of death, the last enemy that is going to be destroyed, its sting being removed, the victory of the grave being defeated. Thank God for ultimate victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said there's going to be a shout. There's going to be a voice. There's going to be the trump of God. Is it Gabriel? Maybe it is. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. We're expecting him. We're expecting him. And we'll rise to meet him in the air. Praise God. Oh, expectations. expectations of a great dinner today and one tomorrow. All the wonderful presents that's been opened. I can remember one time a big long box under our tree. And our boys so excited about that long box because they thought, sure, it's a .22 rifle. Christmas morning, they're up early. The first box they run for is that long box. They quickly tore the wrapping off and opened the box. And there were my crutches. I'd broken my leg that summer, so we put my crutches in the box. But we quickly got the rifle out of the bedroom and showed it to them. The Lord's not going to trick you. The Lord's not going to play with your emotions. The Lord is not going to hold out a prize and then jerk it back and laugh at you. Oh, no. His blessings are going to be poured out. His power is going to be displayed. And I've got expectations of when I walk through into that heavenly place. Hallelujah. I've never been there. I've never talked to anybody who has been there except the record that John wrote in Revelation when he talked to somebody who had made it. But oh, I'm thankful for the absence of the negative influences that are going to be not in that place. They're going to be gone. No devil, no defilement, no unbelievers, no fear, no deceit. Amen. No liars, no aspects of suffering, no tears and crying, no sorrow or pain. Death has been defeated. That's what I expect when we get to the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I enter the city of God, I expect a bunch of positives to be there. Amen. The beauty that the Lord has prepared, the crystal sea, the gates of pearl, the streets of gold, the walls of jasper. Oh, yes, the river of life, the tree of life. Whosoever will, let him drink freely of the waters of life. That's what I expect. Amen. John, in his gospel, would write of so many titles about the Lord being the bread of life, the good shepherd, the door, the way, the truth, the life, and on and on. And he would continue that list in the book of Revelation as he writes about Jesus being the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the faithful and true, the Word of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God, I expect to meet the one who has all of those titles, and I expect to exalt his name forever, forever, forever. Hallelujah. Lifting him up. Praise God. I'm so glad the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He takes away what limits your life from being fulfilled. He takes away sin and shame. He takes away captivity and corruption. He takes away the broken heart and the broken dreams. And he replaces them with abundant life. Hallelujah. He replaces them with his goodness and his might. Oh, thank God. Jesus said at one time, you know how to give good gifts. Thank God. The expectations are not going to be in vain. You know how to give good gifts. And then he went on to say, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, it's good to expect from the Lord the gifts of the Spirit, the liberty and freedom, the insight and sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Brother Mike, thank God we can expect it. Amen. Stand with me now. You've done so good. Thank you. Thank you on a Christmas Eve for being in the house of the Lord and being attentive. But now we've come to a very, very important part of this service. A very, very important question that I'm going to ask you. What are you expecting from the Lord? What are you expecting? Oh, we prayed. We anointed with oil like the Bible says. We saw the Lord work and move and bless in a powerful way. Thank God that he does that kind of work. But you can expect even more from God. You can expect even greater things from God. And most of all, you can expect him to come for his church. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what I'm expecting. Praise God. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord that we can continue to trust him, continue to rely upon him. Because it's not just empty titles that the Bible calls him. No, he really is the bread of life. He really is the way, the truth, and the life. He really is the light of the world. All of those titles, he is every bit and more. And you can expect to receive. Praise God. Would you come and pray here for a few minutes? Well, I'll dismiss you in just a few minutes, but let's give the Lord a chance. Let's let the Lord touch us again. Let's let the Lord bless us again. Praise God. Come and stand. Come and sit on the front row if you'd like. And oh, I'm thankful that God's power ministers to us. I'm thankful that we can expect to receive even more. I know this world disappoints. I know this world does not deliver what you expect. I know that things in life don't happen the way that you would like. That's just the way the world and the devil and the flesh are. But Jesus goes way beyond. And I want us to reach out to him today and just receive what he wants to give. Just receive the blessing he wants to give to you right now. That's why he came. That's why the Christmas story is so good. That's why the power of God is so real, because Jesus came to give. Let's love him and worship him right now. Let's praise him and exalt him right now. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.